It's time for another episode of Christian Polito Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
Here we are, Thursday night again. What you got over there, my sidekick over there? Who's over there?
Mary.
Beth.
Let's do this thing.
Let's do this thing?
Yes.
You were over there doing the Vogue or something while the music was going.
I was totally doing the Vogue. Because everything else hurts.
What a crazy, crazy, crazy week. Things are changing by the minute. Let's start off with a little bit of scripture there. What you got over there for us?
Tonight we have God's judgments. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. That's from John 9:3-5. How quick we are to judge others and conclude that they are under the judgment of God, or at least that they have lost his favor. For example, when someone is struck by lightning, it would be easy to say God was judging him. After all, we know that God is in charge of electricity. However, only about 27 people die each year in the United States from lightning strikes. If God is judging people with lightning, he's not hitting as many as he did back in the 1940s when 432 people died from lightning. The drop in numbers is attributed to education, particularly the phrase, "When thunder roars, go indoors." Even though the man and his parents in the story were sinners, his blindness had nothing to do with their moral state before God. Rather, Jesus said it was an opportunity for the work of God to be revealed in him, and it was. He opened the eyes of a man born blind, and we are still talking about it 2,000 years later. The soul searches, am I quick to make judgments about what may or may not be God's judgments? And the prayer is, Father, remind me to lay my hands upon my mouth when I'm not sure of the facts.
Okay.
There you go.
So, as with every week, you know, I have a kind of a question I want people to be thinking about.
You and your pop quizzes.
It's not a pop quiz. It's kind of the theme for the night, if you call it, tonight's message.
Alrighty.
How powerful is prayer, and how can I tap into the power of prayer? And to kind of go along with that, there are more than 300 specific Bible verses about prayer in the Bible. And one of those that I want you to really think about, we're going to call it the power verse. You liked that, didn't you?
It was kind of like power ballad. I'm like, zoom.
So this, after hearing everything that's been going on in the last 24 hours, I've had a verse that's been kind of replaying over and over in my head, and it's 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it's really relevant to what's going on today. It says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Very interesting, huh?
Very.
Because this land all over the world, needs healing. And the way to get to that, talk to God about it, the power of prayer. And we're going to be covering that a little more in depth a little bit later in the show. But now, oh my goodness.
I'm telling you, I do believe in the power of prayer because, you know, I've been doing some research of my own lately. And the more things that I explore, the more solidified that becomes in my head. You know, and really, you only have but to ask.
Right.
And right now, I think about that. That is about the only way that things are going to get made right, is if everybody collectively prays for the same thing.
And what I want to dig into a little bit later is, you know, the basis of prayer. Like, it's not prayer 911, God, I have a problem and you need to fix it.
No.
I'm talking about earnest prayer every day for everything that's going on, everything that's going on around the world. I constantly find myself praying about it. And this morning when I heard about it, you know who I had to call?
Me.
You, and I had to call my brother from another mother because we went together in prayer about it.
Oh, so early shout out to Skylar.
That's right. Man, we pray for each other every day. Especially on Thursdays. Thursdays, he's called my cut man. He says he's got to get me right for tonight. But all joking aside, the power of prayer and how powerful it is, and we're going to be discussing that tonight, and how important it is to pray for what's going on, especially over in Afghanistan right now, what's going on in this country. You know, there's a whole lot of backlash going on right now from the way that things have been handled.
There's a lot of passing that buck, even though the buck is supposed to stop with who?
Oh, he said it stops with him. But there's another really interesting remark that, you know, that I played for you earlier that we were both like, huh.
Hmm.
You know, made just a couple weeks ago. I mean, the man who is president of the United States is going around saying this.
I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated.
I think he should.
I really think he should.
I think he needs to worry about that a lot, actually.
Well, I mean, if he knows the Bible, he knows that he couldn't be Satan reincarnated because Satan incarnate, Satan, that doesn't happen until the middle of the tribulation period after the church has been raptured. And we've talked about that in depth in this show. And I mean, there's no mark of the beast yet. There's no Satan incarnate, but the devil is alive and there is evil in this world.
I think Satan might have taken over his body. Well, his mind.
Well, that would be Satan incarnate. And that happens after the rapture of the church.
Like possessed.
Yeah. You know, out of everything that we've been reading and going over and talking about stories about all this, you know, I find it most interesting, the news you can't find anywhere else you tend to find in Christian news, and how they're, you know, this whole blunder with everything that's going on right now in Afghanistan is drawing world criticism. And the UK has actually voted to hold Biden in contempt. They're calling this the greatest debacle that NATO has ever seen. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, pretty much from what I've been hearing, which I don't really know is mainstream by any means, but I've been hearing that the whole of Europe has been speaking out against Biden and what he's been up to lately. The UK in particular, Boris Johnson has spoken out regularly, and so has that lady from Germany.
The
scary large German woman. Yeah, she looks like she's been to Oktoberfest a time or two.
You know, the blowback from this is also hitting here at home. You know, President Biden's poll numbers are dropping fast, and his job approval is now his lowest point it's ever been. And the other day, he was, you know, asked by a reporter how he felt about his approval rating being below, you know, being below 48%, and his remark to that was to laugh. He's like, where'd you hear that?
This really? Man is the human Titanic.
I mean, you know, and you haven't really been hearing a lot of numbers, and some of the reports that I've been reading you know, on through Christian news outlets, they're saying that there's as many as 15,000 Americans behind enemy lines, along with tens of thousands more Afghan allies who helped the U.S. military. They're desperate to escape the Taliban, but the Islamic terror group, you know, ISIS-K, has prevented many from reaching the airport.
What is ISIS-K?
So ISIS-K is another, it's kind of like an outreach of...
Like an offshoot?
Yeah, of ISIS. Mm-hmm. And they come from Khorasan.
Oh.
Which begins with a K. That's why they're called ISIS-K, which okay. is an Islamic provenance kind of.
Gotcha.
And they have been kind of hanging out in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of the talk that I heard today earlier was that the Taliban and ISIS-K don't get along. Kind of like, you know, the Bloods and the Crips, you know. They don't really they don't really get along. And, you know, they're trying to put a stain on what the Taliban is saying they're setting up as their new government. So they're trying to basically come in there and kind of put a lump in it.
Hmm. Well, you know, and this all, and I hate to use a Jen Psaki phrase, but circles back to Secretary of State Blinken really putting those mint-flavored shoes in his mouth and saying that the Americans that have been trapped behind the lines, it's their fault that they're there. And I'm like, hold up just a second, because didn't y'all encourage them to go over there as construction workers and consultants and engineers and all this kind of stuff? Didn't you want them there? So how is this their fault when they didn't know this was coming down?
You know, there's still more coming out of that. I mean, there's so much that's being said right now, and it's like, you know, who's in charge?
Well, yeah. And I mean, you know, this unreasonable outdate of the 31st, you know, I think it could be possible if what they said was actually going on, but this was something that you and I were talking about right before the show, which was the last thing I heard was they were going to be sending, you know, more military planes in, and they were going to be sending actually commercial flights from the United States. You know, there were companies that had agreed to fly over there to get the Americans out. So if there's 1,500 folks stuck behind enemy lines, number one, where are the planes supposed to be landing to pick these people up?
Well, they're landing at that airport there in Kabul.
That they just blew up?
They didn't blow it up. They blew up a gate outside of it and at a hotel. There was actually two separate suicide bombers.
Right. I knew that, but I thought they did something more substantial to the airport. There were all kinds of reports coming out about that today.
They are securing the airport now as it is at the moment. But I'm not sure about taking off because they said that there was still some gunfire at play. So I'm not really sure what's going on. And we probably won't get the full story on everything until late tonight or later tonight.
I do want to say something, though, that is a positive. Because, you know, you're always looking for the silver lining of things.
Yep.
So here's a little bitty, itty bitty, teeny weeny, tiny silver lining. Is there were three Afghan women that were pregnant, and they got them out of Afghanistan, and one Afghani woman had her baby mid-flight on the plane, and they named the baby Reach after the call sign of the plane.
Now that's cool.
Yeah. So the question has been coming out about that is whether or not the child is an American citizen because it was on an American flight, and it was headed to an American base.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about that because it was on foreign land and they had no nationality before, so probably not. You know, speaking about, you know, the the questions that are being asked to Biden, you want to know something that's kind of raised eyebrows today? And it has critics asking, who's in charge? President Biden says he was instructed to call on reporters from a list at presser following the Kabul attacks. So he raised eyebrows today when he began taking questions from reporters for the first time since the terror attack started. And 2 hours after the suicide bombings outside of the airport had left at least 13 U.S. servicemen dead, Biden broke his silence and offered a somber message to the nation amid the military withdrawal from Afghanistan. So while it's become normalized for the president to rely on a list of pre-selected reporters, he made a rather stunning admission in the process. He says, ladies and gentlemen, and this is air quotes, ladies and gentlemen, they gave me a list here. The first person I was instructed to call on was Kelly O'Donnell from NBC. And that's how I kicked off his press conference.
You know, they're all sitting back there going,
It's like, do not read this. It's like, like, do not read this line.
Oh, God.
You know, and among others called were, you know, Reuters correspondent, you know, and Associated Press. And, you know, there's been so many offhanded comments. And we even talked about this coming from other news media outlets that I just can't believe some of the things like hashtag get over it.
Oh, yes. You got to tell everybody about that.
So there is a reporter who basically today started a hashtag.
Now, where's he from?
Well, that's, hang on, I'm trying to get that story back up here. You're going to have to give me a second on that. I'm still trying to find.
Wasn't he from CNN?
Yeah, I believe he was from CNN. But basically, he started off saying that, you know, people have been getting killed by suicide bombers over there for 20 years, you know, basically shadowing what happened today, and he ended it up with a hashtag get over it,
hashtag you're fired.
I mean, that's my take on it. I would never, ever, ever, you know.
So just because it's been going on for 20 years, that makes it okay?
It definitely does not make it okay.
I guess it does in his world because he's telling everybody to get over it.
I mean, it's...
That'd be like... To me, that is on par with something happening again like 9/11, which I actually heard from a coworker today that he had heard that ISIS-K was threatening to come here and do some mass destruction. I don't know where he heard that from, but either way, I'm putting it on par with if we started having another incident like 9/11, that'd be like somebody going, get over it.
Pretty much. And I mean, here's another one from MSNBC. Chris Hayes minimizes Kabul attacks that killed American servicemen now. He says 1,000 will die from COVID. What?
What's the correlation there, Chris?
You remember when we used to watch Electric Company when we were kids? And it's like one of these things is not like the other.
Oh, yeah.
One that definitely does not belong.
I mean, it's not a coherent statement. It's like apples and oranges. And I get so tired of these newscasters from all of these different media outlets. I don't care if they're liberal, conservative, they think they're the middle of the road, whatever. But these people are trying to tell you what is the most important issue, what you should be focused on. Well, you know, if they did fair and balanced reporting, you could make that decision for yourself because you would have a better understanding of everything that's going on, which makes me want to bring up the thing that I saw on Facebook today, which was about our governor, and our lieutenant governor was saying what a wonderful man he is, that he's got everybody's back and this and that and the other. And I mean, I've never seen so many people making so many ridiculous statements that are so off point.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, I can't believe that you're actually arguing about this stuff, because you're choosing what issues you want to not like your governor over and trying to base what kind of a human being he is on that. And, yeah, he's not perfect, but no one is. And, you know, maybe if these people spent less time worrying about COVID and more time worried about everything else that's going on, if you've got to pick something to worry about and that's what you want to focus your time on, you know, find something else. Find something that actually has an impact.
Yep.
I'm not saying that COVID should be taken lightly by any means, but I'm saying there's more going on in the world than COVID.
Well, since you opened that door.
Oh, yeah.
I have something here, and I mean, this one actually calls for this.
It's a Christian Polititalk news flash.
Are you ready for this one?
I don't know.
So you opened the door of COVID. And okay, so I want you to think back a month ago or more, beginning of summer, and how passionate Fauci was about the FDA being right on the cusp of approving this, and he was sure that it was going to be approved, and it was just a matter of time, of days before, you know, this was going to be improved, right?
And you start stroking your chin like, how would he know this?
Well, there's something interesting.
Something we didn't know.
So, you know, the FDA does not test any drugs or anything like that.
Right.
All that's done by the National Institute of Health.
Yes, it is.
And it just so happens that the National Institute of Health has the head of bioethics at the National Institute of Health is a lady that's named Christine Grady.
And who is Christine Grady?
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
She is married to none other than Anthony Fauci.
Oh, you totally needed a drum roll right there. But, yeah.
How interesting.
It is very interesting.
And
because, gee, how much influence, who's influencing whom?
Well, you know, you keep hearing about, well, you need to get the vaccine, you need to get the vaccine. And then today, before all this stuff started coming out about Kabul, the talk this morning was the FDA is getting ready to recommend COVID shots every 6 months. Now they're calling it a booster.
Yeah.
Okay. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'm not, you know, saying anything bad about people getting a shot. I'm not saying anything bad about people not getting a shot. I'm just giving the information.
Do what you want to do.
So this is a new medication, just been approved, which means it has a 10-year span of basically it's protected for 10 years. Okay? There's a lot of money to be made. And the government is not going to cover the cost of all these shots, you know, for
indefinite period of time.
Indefinitely. And what are people going to really start saying when it comes down to the government, you know, not paying for these, and all of a sudden you go to get your shot and they're like, okay, it's a $50 copay. Or if you don't have insurance, it's X amount of dollars, which is going to be high. Because you know these things are going to be, you know, $1,000 or more.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know until they start doing it. But for the next 10 years, there is a boatload of money to be made.
Right.
And somewhere down the line, I have a feeling that these same people are tied into the back end of some of these drug companies. There's going to be some kickbacks and everything else. So why in the history of this country has there been a drug approved that had so many reported yet hidden side effects and deaths related to it, as well as other things, but yet it's been approved?
Well, let me go one more and dovetail with that. Normally, when a drug is tested, it goes through years and years of formulaic trials.
Yep.
That's the first thing. I mean, these vaccines were created and given to human subjects in less than a year. And which brings up my next point, which is, first of all, it goes through formulaic trials to make sure that everything interacts the way that it should and works the way that it should and connects with your cells the way that it should. And they try to lessen the side effects so that people don't have potential issues. But because this was like so speedy, you know, Operation Warp Speed, thinking some Star Trek, thinking going plaid, but, you know, anyway, human trials, it's usually at least 10 years after the formulaic trials before they even start giving that to humans, because there's animal trials and then they move it up to human subjects.
Mm-hmm.
And for it to be like straight from formula to human subjects, and we're actually the guinea pigs for these drugs to see what happens, that is not the way you do it. That is not the way you go about it. That is not the way that any drug, since the creation of the NIH and the FDA, has been dealt with. So, number one, everybody out there should be very concerned about that. And, you know, if you've had the vaccine and you've had side effects, well, that's part of your being the guinea pig. You know, they didn't know what all these side effects were going to be and how it was going to wind up turning out. And they only know that because of what has been reported by patients.
Yep. I don't know. Between COVID and what's going on in Afghanistan, I bet we could do a 24-hour marathon show and not run out of stuff.
Oh, I'm sure. Because, I mean, as much as things that are being updated. But, you know, about COVID, too, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but they're not doing, like, a rolling total anymore.
Well, they haven't been since President Biden's been in office. It was an every day, every hour, on the hour, you know, thing with when President Trump was in. And speaking of numbers, here's something interesting. The person who took over for Cuomo just announced that there are several thousand more deaths that were not reported by Cuomo. And I guess she's trying to make sure all the skeletons are out of the closet.
Well, you know, I would too, because I certainly would not want to begin my term as New York's governor under a shadow and a cloud of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Cuomo really polluted that office with everything that, you know, he had a finger in.
Yep. And, you know, Monday was his last day, so that was it.
If I were a New Yorker, I'd be like partying in the street.
You know, and speaking about governors being on the out, earlier this morning in the news, before all of the news came out about what happened in Kabul, the news story was how Vice President Harris and President Biden were going to be at a rally for Newsom.
Oh, yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
And, you know, my feeling on this is this. If President Trump had of tried to stop something like this, or, you know, went out and showed support and said, no, this is wrong, he needs to stay in office, whatever, you know, there'd have been immediate
backlash,
bloody outcry.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no outcry on this. You know, you got people, and this is funny how they blocked everything with Trump on Facebook and said it wasn't political platform, this, that, whatever. I saw things today where Schiff was on there, and he was, and there was a video of him saying, okay, now it's time to get him in. You have till this date in September. Vote no for recalling him. Is that not like a public political platform that Facebook's kind of supporting then?
Yeah, but didn't Biden come out and say that Facebook was killing people?
Yeah, so when it Which works to blowing? Fit you, that makes it okay, I guess.
I guess.
But, you know, they must really be concerned that he's on his way out and they're going to lose that foothold on California.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention him being Pelosi's nephew.
And speaking of Pelosi, I feel like I need like a drum roll or some kind of something. Where is she amidst all of this?
Well, Pelosi and the House, they pretty much ditched town as Biden deals with the Afghanistan evacuation.
You bet they did.
They spent the earlier part of the week what they called to a few days to move along some of the Democrats' domestic legislative agenda, and then closed up shop as the terror threats grew. But what they're calling domestic legislative agenda,
that $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill, which I'm fine with them trying to do some kind of infrastructure in this country, because I mean, our roads and bridges and, you know, railroad tracks and everything else, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot done for the infrastructure. Not because President Trump didn't try.
But it's not that infrastructure.
Right.
There's people infrastructure.
Right, right. There's a lot of different riders and everything on that bill.
Like 2 years of community college, 2 years of preschool, 2 years of something else, and, you know, all this other things. Nothing is free, folks. Nothing. Everything comes at a cost. Your great-grandchildren or great-great-grandchildren are going to be paying the dues for this.
Oh, yeah.
For generations to come.
Because they're acting like the tax money that is... Now, from what I understand, the country only brings in like $4 trillion a year in tax money, and 3.5 sounds like we about busted.
Well, no. We just passed over a $1 billion. This is to be attached on that, so now we're over that $4 trillion budget.
Oh, well, fantastic.
And what he wants to say is that big corporate America made somewhere around several billion dollars, and they paid zero taxes on it. I don't know how that is. I mean, given President Trump, and they tried to say he had tax evasion, he didn't pay, so you're not going after these other companies. He's saying that they're going to be footing the bill, and it will generate so much money. But he's talking about over a 5 to 10 year period. So right now, what's going to happen is the American dollar is going to continue to fall. Inflation's going to continue to go up. But he wants to sit here and say, this got on me too, now that we're talking about this, when he started his press conference yesterday. It didn't start out with what's going on in Afghanistan. It started off with, let me tell you what we've done. Let me pat myself on the back and tell you how fast the economy is rebounding. I don't know what country he's living in or what planet he's living on. I don't see it.
I want to know who our treasurer is. Is it like somebody from the Bernie Madoff School of Business? Like, I mean, is this a pyramid scheme?
He's sitting back there with an abacus and slid one over too far. I don't
know. Dang. I mean, it's just...
But really, with all this going on, and there are people pretty much being held captive because they can't get to the airport, American citizens, and the first thing he wants to talk about is, let me tell you how good we're doing financially. The other leaders of the world could give 2 cents about what he's going out there and saying that his policies are done. No, you destroyed our energy independence.
Yep.
And he's saying that coming out, now this was him. His almost verbatim was, when I took over office, we were coming out of the worst recession and the worst financial situation since the Great Depression, or at least since Johnson.
That man needs to go back a couple years.
You know, he
must have been taking a nap for the last 4 years.
You know, we were riding high. The economy was good. Fuel prices were cheaper.
Yeah,
everything was cheaper until COVID hit. And then it even started rebounding the middle of, towards the end of last year.
Yeah.
And then when things happened with the election like they did, things started sliding, rebounding. And they've been kind of up and down and up and down and up and down. And now that there's so much spending in the government, the inflation rates changed. And now that's what's driving the markets to be a little more unstable.
Unstable. They are practically like bipolar.
You know, and all this is driven by what's going on in the world. And, you know, everything we're talking about is, you know, I don't know. I mean.
Well, you know, the United States has always been the biggest kid on the block with the biggest stick.
Well, the S&P's down 8%, NASDAQ's down 3%. The DJI is down 10%. Everything's down.
I can just hear my parents, if they were still living, and what their opinions of what's going on now would be. I mean, yes, there is a certain amount of cyclical change that goes on with the markets just normally. But, you know, when you've got all of this stuff going on and all of this turmoil and all of this very unexpected stuff happening, and by that I mean COVID. I don't mean terrorism. Terrorism, unfortunately, seems to be like almost a daily thing. It might not be here in this country necessarily, but it is of the world, and there is always going to be someone affected by that. And I can just imagine what they would be saying. They'd be like, you know, when I was a kid, you know, they had World War II to worry about.
Yep. You know, I more and more and more, where we talk about the way of dealing and coping is, you know, getting with like-minded people, you know, band with other Christians, get together and pray. And that's kind of what's rolling us into our that's what's rolling us into kind of the message for the night, the power of prayer.
Michael's homily. Here it goes.
You know, how powerful is prayer? And the power of prayer should not be underestimated at all. James 5:16-18 declares, "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. God most definitely listens to prayers, answers prayers, and moves in response to prayers. Jesus himself taught, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Matthew 17:20. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 tells us, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The Bible urges us, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Ephesians 6:18. Then you go to, you know, the power of the prayer and how do I tap into it? The power of prayer is not the result of the person praying, but it's rather the power that resides in the God who is being prayed to. 1 John 5:14-15 tells us, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. No matter the person praying, the passion behind the prayer, or the purpose of the prayer, God answers prayers that are in agreement with his will. His answers are not always yes, but are always in our best interest. You ever heard the saying, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers? Hey, you. I was asking you that question. Because you were just off in La La Land.
I was.
But have you ever heard that? Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers.
Absolutely.
So when I say that God answers prayers that are in agreement with his will, his answers are not always yes, but what's in our best interest. When our desires line up with his will, we will come to understand that in time. When we pray passionately and purposefully according to God's will, God responds powerfully. We cannot access powerful prayer by using magic formulas. Our prayers being answered is not based on the eloquence of our prayers. We don't have to use certain words or phrases to get God to answer our prayers. In fact, Jesus rebukes those who pray using repetitions.
I have a comment about that.
Okay.
You know, oftentimes you'll hear people say, oh, my prayer was answered, or, you know, somebody will tell a story about how somebody helped them out, you know, and it was an unexpected answer to a prayer and that kind of thing. And I'm always like, see, that is how God sometimes answers our prayers, is through us. And you never know if you're the prayer or if you're the answer.
So you need to always walk around in response to just that. You know, when we say Jesus rebukes those praying using repetitions, you know, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. That comes from Matthew 6:7-8.
Well, of course he does. He knows everything. He's omnipotent.
That's right. Prayer is communicating with God. All you have to do is ask God for his help. Psalm 107:28-30 reminds us, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm. Then he guided them to their desired haven. This is the power of prayer. And what kind of things, you know, for what kind of things should I pray? That's another thing that comes up. You know, God helps us through the power, you know, God's help through the power of prayer is available for all kinds of requests and issues. Philippians 4:6-7 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and in your minds in Christ Jesus. If you need an example of a prayer, read Matthew 6:9-13. These verses are known as the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not a prayer we're supposed to memorize and simply recite to God. It is only an example of how to pray and these things that should go into a prayer. Worship, trust in God, requests, confession, protection, etc. Pray for these kinds of things, but speak to God using your own words.
That's how God wants you to speak to Him. He doesn't want to have you regurgitate something. He wants you... Dang.
How is that going off?
You're popular.
It's completely down. I'm really popular tonight. I don't understand. I'm usually not a popular person.
But God wants you to speak in your own words because He knows your heart and He knows what you're asking for. So, you know, to recite a prayer from rote is not what He wants. He wants to hear specifically from you in your own voice.
Exactly right. And, you know, the Word of God is full of accounts describing the power of prayer in various situations. The power of prayer has overcome enemies. Psalm 6:9-10 conquered death. 2 Kings 4:3-36 brought healing. James 5:14-15 and defeated demons. Mark 9:29. God through prayer opens eyes, changes hearts, heals wounds, and grants wisdom. James 1:5. The power of prayer should never be underestimated because it draws on the glory and might of the infinitely powerful God of the universe. Daniel 4:35 proclaims, all the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back His hand or say to Him, what have you done? So what's your thoughts on hearing all of that?
I mean, I think it's very, it's like I was saying before, it's very important to be able to have that personal relationship with God and be able to be honest with yourself and with Him about what things you really need. I mean, God's not interested in hearing a prayer necessarily about you want a new car. I mean, He's not Santa Claus. But, you know, if you're truly hurting, if you're truly in need of something, God already knows what that is.
Yep.
And you being able to communicate that to Him is what He wants to know.
Well, if you...
Because it's all about faith.
You know, some of my favorite Bible verses that I've kind of pulled to the side here that kind of cover the power of prayer. You know, Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working. You know, Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, there are so many that that I completely, you know, verses that I really like and draw inspiration from in the Bible. And, you know, something that, you know, often I think about for you comes from Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And a lot of these things have a lot of similarities and a lot of the same words. You know, I desire than that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. With everything that's going on in the world today, just like I said earlier, another rendition of 2 Chronicles 7:14 from the ESV version of the Bible, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal the land. That's that one powerful verse that I think people need to hear over and over. I really want people to understand and know how important and powerful prayer is. Just like I say, not God 911. Oh God, I'm in trouble. I know I really don't talk to you much. That's when sometimes prayers go unanswered because it's not what's best for you. And sometimes things don't come in a time that we think it should, but it comes. And the big step for you to take to get to where you have that kind of relationship with God is through, you know, your salvation and your personal relationship with God. And I know we do this every week, and we're going to keep on doing it every week because there are still people out there that need to hear it. You don't have to be in a room full of people. You don't have to do it in a church. This is all about you opening your heart to God. That's all you have to do. Open your heart to God and pray in at all times in the Spirit. You know, to get to the point of salvation, you need to be willing to admit that you're a sinner. And you can read more on that in Romans 3:10. You must be willing to turn from your sin, and this is what the word repent means. You can find more on that in the book of Acts 17:30. And you must believe that Jesus Christ died for you and he was buried and rose again from the dead to pay the price for your sins. You can find more on that in Romans 10:9-10. And you must pray and invite Jesus into your hearts as your Lord and Savior. You can find out more about that in Romans 10:13. You can simply, if you've never asked for salvation, you can simply pray this right now. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you just had that second birth that the Bible talks about. For if a person's born one time of this world, they're going to have two deaths. They're going to die worldly, and they're going to die spiritually. If a person's born again just by that salvation, you're going to die of this world, and then you're going to live in eternity with the Lord. What you got to say over there? You got kind of a glazed over look.
No, I'm just listening.
Deer in the headlights.
No, that would be more like this.
If, you know, you have something, if you want us to pray for you, if you have a topic that you want us to talk about, send us an email. How can they send us an email?
They can send it to Christian Polititalk, PolititaLK, at gmail.com.
That's right, Christian Polititalk at gmail.com. You know, send us a prayer request. We always pray for everybody listening. We hope you guys pray for us. We all have problems. We all have things going on in the world. We're all affected directly or indirectly about everything that's going on in the world right now. And the only thing that we can do for each other is to lift each other up in prayer.
And if you are the parents or family or friends of anyone trapped over in Afghanistan, we are definitely praying for you and your loved ones. That is a very scary situation, and we wish them safety in getting home and making sure that they do get home. You know, make sure that you reach out to your congresspeople, your state senators, and make them push to get your family and your friends and your loved ones out of there.
Definitely. You know, remember to pray for everyone that's been injured, everyone that's been killed. You know, there's some families out there tonight that are really hurting. Remember to pray for them, and you know, there's a lot of things over the next few days that'll be coming out, and we pray for safe passage and safety of everyone that's just over there trying to help and get people out and get them somewhere where they can be safe and away from, you know, persecution. And remember to pray for Israel. You know, the closer that, you know, different groups get to Jerusalem, you know, that really bothers me, you know, that all of this is going on. And there have been so many remarks made about, you know, death to Israel, death to America. There's so many things that are going on. So let's band up and let's all pray. That's the one thing that we can do. Reach out. If you prayed that prayer tonight, you know, get yourself a Bible. Don't start at the end. You got to start at the beginning. I know, you know, I've read the Bible front to back, and you got to read the beginning to understand the end. And we appreciate you joining us tonight, just like every week. We really enjoy the time you guys spend with us, so we look forward to seeing, you know, everybody being online with us next Thursday night. And we'll see you, and hope you join us next Thursday night. Hope everyone has a great week.
I've been walking with a big grin, singing with my eyes closed, lifting up my hands. I've been lost in the moment, sending up praises. Now I think I understand. When I open up and let it flow, I feel your touch, and then I know I can never live without. Singing it forever, I worship you.
on the edge now, looking to a new place, going deeper still.